views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
We might not be back. I might be in jail. I might be anywhere. But when I leave, you remember I said with the last words on my lips, I am a revolutionary.
Revolution comes with a price tag. You were slave to a flag in a country that clearly doesn't love you when they probably never have. Told you turn the other cheek, and they made it with a bat. Fucking protesting them city ass. Told you go fight in the war. Vietnam, you died good riddance. The man of the house rule took you from your siblings. Turned around a pump crack right up in your city. And they turned all your leaders to martyrs. You was off in the war, now who was guarding your daughters? It was riots in the streets, killed Malcolm and Martin. Called the National Guard up because we ride with our guard up. And that was blood in your guard. The Second Amendment don't apply to you. Everything that they taught you was a lie to you. See, they scared of your skin and they dying to shoot. Take the American dream and then you die to pursue.
One day it'll all make sense. If it ain't about power, then it don't make sense. But none of that money matters when you live in madness. The one that you figure out that all you got is this. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger.
Good afternoon and welcome to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines known as USA Inc. And again, I will keep saying it because a lot of people do not realize that you don't live in a nation. You don't live in a country. You live within the borders of a corporation. And I was reminded of that today when a person that I'm connected with on Facebook had actually had that conversation and had to point that out to someone. And they shared some information that I wasn't aware of. I knew that the USA Inc. was a corporation, but I didn't know exactly what year they incorporated. I thought that it originally started as a corporation. I was wrong. It did not start as a corporation in 1775. It did not become a corporation until the 1800s. They transformed it from a constitutional republic and transferred it into a corporation. So yeah, that's what I mean when I say USA Inc. All right. And that is why corporations, other corporations run by the wealthiest people on the planet, have so much power and sway within the USA. All right. Because it's a corporation working with other corporations. So I want to share what they had to say. But first of all, let me go ahead and say this. Today is September the 15th, 2015. It's a Tuesday afternoon. Black Talk Radio News will only be on for 1 hour today and probably for the next couple of weeks. I don't want to say couple of weeks, but I am very excited because something that I have been working towards for over a year. One of the things I've been trying to do with BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com is making an attractive platform for black people to come and produce independent media. Now, one of the drawbacks that we had, one of the technical drawbacks that we had was that we could not host our own podcast. I mean, we could host like little short audio clips and video clips and things of that nature, but we could not host like an hour long program, 2 hour long program, a 3 hour long program. And, you know, of course, when we do these programs, we save them as podcasts. So we couldn't upload those podcasts. Well, last night I finally got that breakthrough that I had been searching so hard for. And now, people who are broadcasters on Black Talk Radio Network through the Black Talk Media Project can now upload their podcasts, and we don't have to use a third party podcast host. Now the clients and people who produce media on Black Talk Radio Network will be able to upload their podcast directly to the site. And so the reason I'm gonna have to cut back on my time on air, it's so that I can work behind the scenes and doing some other stuff in terms of being able to allow the podcasters to get statistical data, and I have already identified one piece of software that looks very promising. I'm testing it out right now, but I still have to learn it. I still have to fully integrate it into the blog. And at the same time, I also want to look at other software as well. But I'm very excited about that. The more we're able to do on our own and not you and rely on people outside of the network to provide services for us, the better. The better. That's just one inch closer. We have moved towards liberation. All right. Independence in terms of black media. So I'm very happy about that. And I need to really focus on following up on that breakthrough so that we can hopefully attract more independent black media broadcasters by making the platform more attractive. But, you know, that just makes me that much more appreciative of the other hosts who are already with us, who are operating their own independent black radio stations on our network and through our nonprofit Black Talk Media Project. Because, I mean, they could have stayed on Blog Talk Radio, or they could have went to Blog Talk Radio, or they could have went to some of these other sites that are far more advanced than we are. They have had far more capital to invest in their platforms, and everything isn't automated with us. You do have to, it's not that what the way we do it is hard, okay? It's not hard per se. But it's not easy as just picking up a telephone and calling in and, you know, doing your program, and then it does everything in the background for you. No, we have a little more hands-on experience. Again, it's not very difficult. But, you know, some people just like, you know, we live in a microwave society. And so that makes me that much more appreciative of those independent black media hosts who host through us, because they could went somewhere else and say, well, you don't offer this and you don't offer that. But that's not the avenue that they took. That's not the way they looked at it. They wanted to grow with Black Talk Radio. They wanted to give their resources to an independent black platform instead of, you know, those other people. All right. So I'm very excited about that, and I'm just very anxious to get to work on making the platform better for the independent black media producers we have, as well as you, our listeners, those who visit the website. This will also allow us to be able to, for those people that, you know, they don't want to, or for whatever reason, they can't grasp the technical aspect of the way that we do broadcasting. Again, it's more manual the way we live stream our programs, but it's far better quality, especially when you compare it to Blog Talk Radio. Far better audio quality and whatnot. But if you don't want to do live streaming, you know, now that we are able to upload, you know, large audio files and even video files, you can just be a podcaster. You can just, you know, pre-record your stuff and do your podcast and then upload it to the site. And so if you're not interested in, you know, managing your own independent black digital radio station, then, you know, you can still get your message out to our audience by using the podcast feature that will soon be coming to Black Talk Radio Network. So I don't know if y'all can tell, but I'm just really excited. I'm just really excited because I have been working and hacking away at code, and, you know, I know that I can do a lot more in terms of web development than a lot of people, than your average person, but I am no expert on it. But I know how to read. I know how to read manuals. I know how to read instructions. And so, you know, a lot of the things I do is by trial and error. I'll read something and then I'll try to implement it, and then it doesn't always work. So I got to troubleshoot and do things of that nature. So, yeah, I'm just real excited, y'all, about that. Okay, because I have been scratching my head and doing a whole lot of hand wringing, and damn, why I can't get this to work? What's going on? And so, yeah, that was a major hurdle that I crossed last night. All right, today, again, we're only going to be on air for an hour, so if you have any commentary, any news, anything you would like to report on air, you can give us a call, 641-715-3660. Again, the phone number is 641-715-3660. The extension is 549-032-pound. Again, that's 549-032-pound. Hit *6 and 1 to comment on air. Again, we're going off at 5 o'clock p.m. We'll be off air so I can get to work. But Tando Radio Show will be on air at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern time, and that will conclude the live streaming on this digital radio station. But our independent media partner, the Context of White Supremacy, has a program scheduled for tonight at 8 o'clock. That'll be right after Tando Radio Show. The Context of White Supremacy program is titled Dating a Sneaky Kind of Racist. Dating a Sneaky Kind of Racist. That's the Context of White Supremacy at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. You can go to blacktalkradionetwork.com. Just look at the big green media player. And then you will see their listing among all the radio stations, the cows. Just click on that at 8 o'clock p.m. and you'll be able to tune in to that independent black radio station. All right, today, I didn't produce a program description, but I do want to talk about criminal justice. I want to talk about 21st century slavery and human trafficking with you over the next hour. I'm also still trying to grasp, I'm trying to make logic out of the illogical, and I'm still trying to figure out why Hillary Clinton got so much support among black people who vote, that is. Why is she running in the 80% percentile? And just last night, you know, they were talking about these recent polls and stuff like that, and they again mentioned that all of these, even white women, don't trust Hillary Clinton. That they are souring on Clinton. They are withdrawing their support of her campaign. I mean, it's like they're rats, you know, fleeing a sinking ship. Now, if white people don't even trust Hillary Clinton, explain to me why 80% of the black people participating in these polls trust Hillary Clinton and would support Hillary Clinton, given her background on issues, on policies, and the things that she has done. It's just illogical to me. Because if you ask those same black voters what's at the top of their priority list in terms of policy, political policy, and the governance of this corporation, they will tell you criminal justice reform. They will tell you addressing police brutality and terrorism and things of that nature and felony disenfranchisement and, you know, well, how in the hell, if those are important to you, can you overlook the fact that Hillary Clinton and her husband, who she talked about, she considered him as her running mate, as vice president. I read an article that said that today. How can you, given their history, their long ties to private prisons, going all the way back to when he was governor of Arkansas, going all the way back to when he was the CEO of this corporation called USA Inc., three strikes, you're out. Keep kicking people off of public assistance and whatnot. Just passing all kind of policies, working in a bipartisan fashion with Republicans. How can you support this woman? How can you ignore the fact that she has at least two that I know of, two white males raising money for her campaign? And they work for private prisons. I mean, this is outright embarrassing to me. Because this tells me, this suggests to me, that those 80% of black voters that support Hillary Clinton are not operating on logic whatsoever. It's not a matter of you supporting somebody else for president, or if you don't support none of them. But on the issues, how can we support a woman who has done along with her husband, not only damage to our black community, but damage to the Haitians, damage to the Libyans, damage to Africa. Man, I got to get Nick Turse on here, a writer. I interviewed him a couple of years ago about his book he had written about the war crimes of the U.S. military in Vietnam. It was called Kill Everything That Moves, or Kill Anything That Moves. But it was policy to just wipe out, you know, villages and, you know, kill civilians. That was their policy. So he has come out with a new book, which is talking about AFROCOM and what the United States military is doing in Africa. And so I'm telling you, man, this woman and her husband has caused more harm to black people globally, not just here in the United States, but globally. They have caused more harm than most people. I mean, they have done more harm than any Republican president I can think of. So I'm trying to understand this. Not that I want to ridicule anyone. I'm just trying to make sense of it, because it just doesn't make sense to me. I'm trying to find the logic in the support for Hillary Clinton. I have a couple of theories, but, you know, they're just theories. I don't have any evidence to support my theory that the vast majority of these black voters who support Hillary Clinton, in my opinion, have to be women. They have to be women who just want to see a woman president. Don't matter about the policy. None of that. That don't matter. They just, you know, they on their feminism tip. And it don't matter if Hillary Clinton has supported policies and still supports policies that have targeted their family members, that, you know, they just can't get past the feminism. Oh, we got a black president. Now it's time for a woman president. You know what I'm saying? What kind of, I mean, I know that's identity politics, and a lot of people play identity politics. That's what Donald Trump is tapping into, with all them racist white supremacists that's supporting his campaign. He's playing it up, right? So everybody, I think, to a certain extent, and I'm talking about the masses of people, play identity politics. But that, just because a lot of people do something, doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it logical. I didn't vote for Barack Obama. Number one, he didn't need my vote. I had a different strategy. My strategy was to help a third party get permanent ballot access here in the state of North Carolina. So I voted for the Green Party in 2008 and the Libertarian Party in 2012. I almost voted for President Obama in 2008. But I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I had to go ahead and vote for my sister, elder sister, Cynthia McKinney. I shouldn't call her an elder. She ain't that old. She probably around my age. I'm calling her an elder. But, yeah, I had to roll with Cynthia McKinney and I was about to say Rosie Perez. But Rosa Clemente. That's who I rolled with in 2008. 2012, I knew President Obama was going to be engineered for him to win again. All right, so I just wanted to get the Libertarian Party permanent ballot access by voting for Gary Johnson, who I actually had interviewed, his vice presidential candidate. And why? Because they were talking about, maybe not in the same language that I use as an abolitionist, talking about abolishing 21st century slavery and human trafficking. But they were talking about ending the drug war. Stop locking up all these people. And you know, they against the police state as well. So, yeah, I had to roll with Gary Johnson and I forgot the other dude's name. I had interviewed him, but that's been so long ago. That was in 2012. I can't remember his name. So again, I'm just trying to make sense of this, and I can't make any sense of it, and nobody's trying to help me to understand it, because I posted a picture of Hillary Clinton doing a nay-nay with this black dude on Ellen DeGeneres program, you know, because it reminded me of Bill Clinton playing a saxophone on Arsenio Hall, and so I was sending a subliminal message there. I didn't, you know, but I asked a question. I, you know, this is what I wrote on Black Talk Radio Network's Facebook page. We are trying to grasp why Hillary Clinton reportedly has 80% support among black voters. In fact, with all other demographics, including white women, turning sour on Clinton, it could be said that Clinton's primary base right now is black voters, and they are making up the margin of the lead that she has in some of the polls. If you are a black voter who supports Hillary Clinton's campaign, would you please tell us why and what policy issues she has put forth that underlies the basis of your support? Thank you in advance. I posted that, like, let me see, 2 hours ago. Almost 200 people have seen it, so I guess those 200 people don't support Hillary Clinton. I would think I would find a few of them to answer and tell us why. Maybe they can't think of a reason why they're supporting Hillary Clinton, or they're too ashamed to say that I'm supporting Hillary Clinton because she's a woman. And she got a vajayjay just like I do, so I got to roll with the vajayjay. Is that, you know, that maybe they embarrassed to say something like that? I did get a couple of comments. Let me share some of those comments. Let me just post something here so when the comments come in, which I doubt, I can read them. LOL, laughing out loud. Mrs. Green, now that was a male who made that comment, but here's a female. She says, why? Because they live in fantasy land and are clueless. Just stating fact, there is no other reason. Thank you for your contribution. But I'm looking for black voters that support Hillary Clinton to comment. Not so that I can ridicule you or tell you how stupid you are, or, you know, just bag on your intelligence level or whatnot. I'm trying to research to understand this support that I cannot explain. Because don't none of the females in my family support Hillary Clinton. None of them. None of them. And so I'm asking you, give us a call. You can call us, the other telephone number. Let me open up the studio line. We don't have a guest today, but let me open up that studio line. Oh, it's already open. 704-951-5030. That's 704-951-5030. That's the studio line. The conference line is 641-715-3660. That's 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032-POUND. Again, that participant code is 549-032-POUND. Greetings to those already dialed in. If you want to comment, hit *6 and 1 to comment on air. But I'm looking for Hillary Clinton supporters out there, the black ones, and, you know, not the white ones. Because those are your diehards right there. Those are your diehard feminists. Again, they don't care nothing about where she stands on any issues or the fact that she is incompetent. She ran the Secretary of State's office like an incompetent person that I would not want to hire as CEO of USA Inc. And just so y'all know, I do want to abolish this corporation, but I am an abolitionist, and we have this mantra about death by a thousand paper cuts. And if we can abolish slavery in this country, which many of y'all call mass incarceration through the political activity, then we'll do it. You know, that's part of the people activity, but we leave all options on the table. My ultimate goal is to see this corporation dissolved. And then we can just start over from scratch. I mean, that's not a hard thing to do, is it? I mean, Hell, governments come and go, don't they? Corporations get dissolved all the time and something else is created in their place. So, you know, that's me. I want to abolish this corporation. But at the same time, I don't want to sit around doing nothing. And as my revolutionary brothers and sisters and elders have stated, and I agree with, that we want to do this, that, and the other pending revolution. All right, so don't get it twisted. Don't think that Scotty is bought in to USA Inc., that he has an, you know, he's part of the system and whatnot. No, I'm trying to do whatever I can to free our people from slavery, to freedom, from terrorism, and, you know, just total liberty and freedom. And I want that for all people, just not black people. I want that for all people. All right, so I want to make that clear. Let me see. I got a couple of more comments on Hillary Clinton. Let me see if I can find that right quick. I just lost my page. Let's see. Here's a couple of more comments. I believe this is a female, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure if this is a female. They have a Muslim name. Habiba. I think that's a female. Habiba. I think that's a female. I could be wrong. I'm sorry if I am. But Habiba said, she's trying to seem softer, more humane, relatable, like a person you would invite to your party. I still remember. So she's talking about, obviously, you know, Hillary Clinton doing the nay-nay on Ellen DeGeneres program with this black dude teaching her how to do the nay-nay, you know. So that was she commenting on. So I take it that she is not a Hillary Clinton campaign supporter and whatnot. So, yeah. So, I mean, come on, y'all. Give us a call. Give us a call. If you a Hillary Clinton campaign supporter, I will give you all the time you need, all the way up to we get towards the end of this program, which, you know, which is about 33 minutes away, to extol the virtues of your chosen candidate. Convince me that your support of Hillary Clinton is logical. And it's not that you got to convince me or anything. I don't want you to take that the wrong way. So let me put it this way. Help me understand the basis of your support for Hillary Clinton, because you must be seeing something I'm not seeing. I'm assuming that you're not just voting for her because she's a woman. You know, I'm going to assume that you aren't that shallow, that, you know, what a person has between their legs is the basis of how you vote. All right. I'm assume that. So it's got to be something else. It's got to be some point to some policy issue that she has put forth. You know, she tried to talk down to the Black Lives Matter Boston chapter. I think it was about four different activists who got a private meeting with her after they were shut out of her event. Yeah, she tried to say to them, you know, well, where's your policies? And you know, it's going to take more than just saying Black Lives Matter. And, you know, you got to understand how it works. So, where's the policy? Well, you know, in terms of criminal justice reform, I have heard her speaking on it. See, because I got Google alerts out on all these candidates for various things like private, you know, Hillary Clinton private prisons, Bernie Sanders, mass incarceration, you know, just using all these keywords and stuff associated to these candidates' names. So I get a whole lot of emails and stuff. I probably get too many emails, and that's why I'm slacking and responding to people that's trying to contact me, and I apologize for that. But I get a lot of emails, so I try to stay in the loop and I try to stay informed about these policies that these candidates are talking about. And the only thing I heard her talk about in terms of so-called criminal justice reform, which I don't want to reform the system, I want to abolish it, but she's going to these white rural communities, predominantly white rural communities, and she is being so compassionate towards those drug addicts in that community. And I don't mean that in a derogatory way. Okay. I don't look down on people because they use drugs or homeless or anything like that. But she's being so compassionate to all of those people that have in those rural communities that have gotten addicted to that Afghan heroin that somehow was making its way from a battlefield in Afghanistan all the way over to rural white America. You know, explain to me how that heroin's getting over here. All right. But she's being very compassionate in addressing the drug problem in the white community. She's talking about setting aside all this money for treatment and whatnot. And I still ain't heard her talk about abolishing the drug laws. She's not going to do that. She's not going to do that, you know, because that would go against what the people that's paying her or lobbying for her, the private prison. See, that'll go against their agenda. But I just couldn't help but notice, and I know it's been, a couple of decades since her and Bill was out there, along with every other racist out there, stereotyping the black community, talking about all the crack houses. And indeed, there was a crack epidemic. You know, Reagan did allow the CIA and them to, you know, dump all this cheap cocaine into the black community, and Ricky Freeway Ross found a way to cut it with some baking soda and, you know, boom, the crack epidemic. All right. So but nobody was being compassionate back then. They wasn't saying, man, we need to get these people some help. Don't lock them up. Let's get them some treatment. No, Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton in the 90s. Was not talking that. They were talking about three strikes, you're out, and all this and that, and blah, 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 and let's lock up all these niggas. Yeah, that's what they was talking back then. But when it come to the white community being infested with drugs, she softened her stance on it. I'm sure that's what some people say. Well, people can change. Yeah, people can change. Yes, they can. They can change. But I don't think this woman has changed whatsoever. I think the politics of the day have changed, and she, like a chameleon, is just saying what people want to hear. All right. And those white people don't want to hear about their sons and daughters being targeted by the DEA or local police, you know, for enslavement, for locking them up for nonviolent victimless crimes. I'm not going to say they're victimless crimes, because if you become a drug addict, you have victimized yourself. But that's your choice. I believe in choice. Hell, you know, God gave us free will. Shouldn't they have a free will to make a choice and then, you know, deal with the consequences of their choices? But I don't think enslaving them is any better. So, again, I'm just trying to understand. Somebody help me understand, because I'm pulling my hair out. And I'm like, these people must be lying. They probably called five people, and four out of those five said they support Hillary Clinton. And then, you know, they're saying 80%. That's 80%. So you talk to five people out of 40 million. Well, I know all 40 million black people who participated in the census, because I know it's more than 40 million, but that participated in the census, and those who are voters, black voters, even less. I'm sure you didn't talk to 10 million black registered voters about Hillary Clinton. I'm sure you didn't. You probably called five out of the 1,000 people that you called, five black people total. 95% was, probably another 5% was Asians, probably another 5% was Hispanic, and then the rest was all white people. So it's a possibility that, and I have always said, you can't put a whole lot of stock in these polls. But they keep repeating it. They keep repeating that and repeating it and repeating it. And it just doesn't seem logical to me, so I'm suspicious. I'm trying to find them Hillary Clinton supporters, and I have found a couple of them. But there's no way for me to verify that they're actually black people just because they're commenting on a post on Black Talk Radio Network's Facebook page. Doesn't mean that they're black. I don't care if the picture's black or whatever, you know. So, but I have found a couple. Like, for example, I had this black woman tell me today, that she thought that the Black Talk Radio page, let me just pull that up. Let me read what this person said. And I think this might be a white person. I don't know. This name, Cal Mike Hervgott. I don't know. I don't know. Let me see if I got anybody connected to this person. Lives in Portland, Oregon. Oh, yeah, I'm dealing with one of them people. Y'all do know Oregon was founded as a racist state, right? That in its constitution said that, that black people can't even move into the state. So now it comes in, you know, context. But yeah, they're talking about Bernie Sanders. Anyway, I share this article, like I share a lot of articles on politicians talking about the issues. Now, the issues that's most important to me is criminal justice, modern day slavery, and human trafficking. And so if one candidate is talking more about that, and I'm getting more Google alerts sent to my email of politicians talking about the issues that's most important to me, then it stands to reason that I'm going to share more of those articles on Black Talk Radio Network. Doesn't mean I support anybody's campaign, because I don't. I'm not one of those people. I don't play the partisan political game. And I know there is not a single candidate out there that I'm going to agree with 100% down the board. I'm not. Bernie Sanders is a Zionist, man. He's a Zionist, and I'm not cool with Zionism, because Zionism is racism. All right? That's what Malcolm X taught. Zionism equal racism. All right? So, but with that said, he is the only one that I see that is actually putting forth some policies that could at least put a dent in mass incarceration. And I'm going to talk about that later. How I feel like abolishing private prisons is a key to cutting down, maybe not totally eliminating, but drastically reducing the power of private prison lobbyists. Because if you abolish private prison industry, then guess what? You ain't got no private prison lobbyists, do you? And then they wouldn't be out there raising money for Hillary Clinton, right? Because the industry would cease to exist by law, by being abolished. But I shared an article. The title said, Bernie Sanders declares it's not acceptable to jail marijuana users and let big bank CEOs walk. Now, I didn't add any extra commentary to that. I didn't say anything except for the share paragraph from the article that says the DOJ memo claims the government will, from this point forward, try to hold both corporations and individual employees accountable for illegal Wall Street activity. Sanders says this is long overdue, but he says the DOJ doesn't go far enough and that the government is being hypocritical by destroying lives in the so-called war on drugs while letting so much white-collar crime go unpunished or with just a slap on the wrist for offenders. Now, that's all that was posted, which is normally all I do post. It's an excerpt from the article. Now, I may add some commentary in terms of explaining the legislation, but I don't endorse candidates. I don't do that. I'm just a reporter. I'm a citizen journalist. I'm sharing information with the listening audience, those who frequent our social media pages, and those who frequent our website. I'm sharing information. That's all I'm doing. Now, this person wants to say, I'm unliking this page. It's now becoming a Sanders support page. I can see some of the motivations, but he's still one of them. I really liked your far left work before, but now it seems that you've fallen for the Kool-Aid and are sipping into supporting a supposed leftist who's anything but. I love the below article that Darren Buttier, somebody posted below. So I don't see what. This person said, here's how black people actually fare in Vermont with Bernie Sanders as their senator. See, they're playing games with you. And again, I don't care. I'm not defending Bernie Sanders. And by the way, I told that person goodbye. You know, we share news and information. Sanders is talking about issues important to us. We share news stories on a lot of different politicians, so by your logic, we must support them too. Yeah, bye-bye. Cause it ain't like we getting paid for you liking a page, please. I mean, that's just so childish and incorrect. Cause we post the article and Bernie Sanders is, I don't see anything incorrect about what he said about the DOJ not going far enough to go after these crooks on Wall Street. You know, the ones that I have reported on through the years that have been busted with these big banks laundering drug money, and they don't even seize all the money, all the profit they made off of drugs. They just give them, slap them with a fine. Nobody goes to jail, but millions of people are locked up for nonviolent drug use. All right. So, I mean, what's incorrect about that? Why would you say this is turning into a Sanders support page? We just reporting what Sanders says. Now, then this person says, pay attention to your state elections. Here's how black people actually fare in Vermont with Bernie Sanders. Now, I'm going to read some of this article, but then I'm going to explain the fallacy in this article and what they're engaging in. These are probably paid trolls for Hillary Clinton. In 2014, Gallup ranked the great state of Vermont the second most liberal in the country. On its surface, the label seemed to fit. 30% of people polled identified as liberal. Leftist darling Bernie Sanders has represented Vermonters in the U.S. Senate for 8 years as a Democratic Socialist and now spearheads one of the more galvanizing presidential campaigns in memory. Vermont was the last state to let a Walmart operate within its borders. Its banner export, Ben & Jerry's Ice Cream, routinely champions progressive costs. Let me just jump on down to the point. They're saying with a population that's almost, and this is a black male writing this, right? With a population that's almost entirely white, 95.2% according to the 2014 census estimates, and consists of just over 626,000 people, blah, blah, blah. One answer lies in the numbers, blah, blah, blah. How does the state's progressivism apply across racial lines? Black Vermonters make up just 1.2% of the state's general population, but 10.7% of its incarcerated population. Well, guess what? Max Parthas on New Abolitionist Radio, I believe just last week, where we break down every state and say that Ferguson is America, Vermont is Ferguson, or Ferguson is Vermont, or Ferguson is Oregon, or Ferguson is Wisconsin, where we're showing patterns and practices of racism and the practice of 21st century slavery and human trafficking in all these states. There's not a single one that doesn't have a racially disproportionate amount of black prisoners in their state. Okay? But how in the heck do you tie, how do you lay that at the feet of Bernie Sanders? He's a U.S. Senator. Is he writing those laws in Vermont? I mean, by that same, I know at one time he was a state house or a state senator in Vermont, but that was like a long, long time ago. But so how do you lay that at his feet? I'm sure that was going on way before he arrived on the scene, just like it's been going on in every other state. Now, would it be logical for me to then say, look at Illinois and their disproportionate incarceration rates of black people? And again, as an abolitionist, I don't want to free just black people. I want to free everybody from slavery. Okay? Everyone. My primary concern as a black person is for my community, but I know that this is an issue that I just cannot make it a black issue. It's a people issue. A lot of people getting enslaved, and a lot of black people, non-white people, are aiding and abetting 21st century slavery and human trafficking. And we can try to turn a blind eye to that and act like those people don't exist, but I keep seeing them popping up in these videos of black people getting brutalized by cops and in these jails and prisons. All right? And I got family that's been in prison, and I visit them when they were in prison. And I saw a whole lot of black people working in them prisons as guards. So how you just gonna lay this at one person's foot? You can't do that. I could say Barack Obama is responsible for Illinois' disproportionate incarceration rate since he was a state senator in Illinois, right? Applying the same logic, I could lay that at his feet. So we got a lot of people that's engaging in intellectual trickery and dishonesty. And again, I am not trying to, I think I mixed a call from Max. Brother Max was trying to call in. Brother Max, I'm sorry. If you want to give us a call back, you can go ahead and call back. I got about 15 minutes left in the program. Cause I got to get to work, man. I'm very excited about our ability to, do our own podcast hosting, and I want to get to work on that. So yeah, give us a call back, Max. So anyway, why are these people saying that we support Bernie Sanders? I don't support Bernie Sanders. I do support abolishing private prisons. All right. I do support ending slavery and human trafficking in this country. And so if this man does something, anything to address the issue, then I'm going to support that bill. And let me just talk about this bill. There's an article that came from GovX. It's govexec.com. I never heard of that website before, but again, I have Google alerts out on all these candidates and certain issues. And so this one came up tagged with criminal justice, right? So, Democratic president candidate Bernie Sanders will introduce a bill. All right, it is not letting me. I'm going to have to call Max. Max, I'm going to call you. Because for whatever reason, it won't let me add you without hanging up on the other people. Let me see. Max Partis. Let me add Max and get him in here right quick. Y'all bear with me. The brother keep trying to call in, but I don't want to hang up on those on the conference line. And it's not working right. Max, we got you. Max.
Peace, Scotty. How you doing, brother?
Okay. All right. Got you now, man. Sorry I kept missing your call.
Oh, that's no problem, man. I was sitting here listening to you speak about the Sanders situation and the Clinton situation, both of which you and I and Johanan have brought much information to light. Some of the things that the brother was saying about Sanders, he probably got from us when we did our Vermont is Ferguson about 3 weeks ago.
Oh, that was 3 weeks ago?
Yeah, it was 3 weeks ago. And I personally put it into his team's hands so they know that we know and told them that this information was going to be coming out. And he needed to get his own home in order before he started talking hypocritically about what he's going to do nationally when Vermont is really one of the worst in the country.
Now, just like I was just saying to the listeners, you do know that U.S. senators have no impact on legislation in their home states, right? I mean, they can use the bully pulpit to support legislation and behind the scenes get members of their own party and whatnot to push legislation. But in terms of actually introducing legislation at a state level, they can't do that. And I know you understand that, Max, but I just want to make that clear.
At this point in time, I think he's been a senator for how many years now? Is it 8 years?
I am not sure.
Somewhere around that. Yeah, but he often touts Vermont as examples when he speaks at his rally. When I went to his rally, I heard him talking about Vermont as an example of, what goes on in the state of Vermont and how progressive it is.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so again, but this is in every state. This is in every state that we have covered thus far this year as we do the Ferguson is America series. So I just think, that person who was trying to point to Vermont to suggest that he's not addressing the issue or that we should be looking at him with the side eye. I think we should be looking at everybody with the side eye. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yep.
We look at everybody, so I don't know how these people can say that, you know, Black Talk Radio Network supports, it's like we're supporting Bernie Sanders over so-and-so. I think we are pretty objective in calling out all politicians on the issues. Now, let me say this, and if I had to go over, I'll go over, because I titled today's broadcast, this is what I said. I said, let me scroll up right quick. Abolishing private prisons is a key component to ending mass slavery in the USA. Now, we have said as recently on Wednesday night last week on New Abolitionist Radio, we've been talking about we need to see the language of this bill before we say it's good or bad. All right. But let's just assume for a minute that it actually does outright abolish and makes it illegal for private prisons to exist in this country. Now, why would I say that this would be a key component to ending mass slavery in this country? This is why I think that would be key. I think it would be key because without the private prison industry, you wouldn't have these powerful lobbies that like ALEC, where you have all these different corporations that's profiting off of prison slavery, like Sprint, Verizon, Whole Foods, all these other corporations. If you eliminate the private prison industry, you eliminate the private prison lobby. What does the private prison lobby exist to do? To push these harsh laws to keep people, to lock up more people for even longer periods of time. Does that sound logical to you, Max?
Very little of what comes out of politics these days sounds logical to me, Scotty.
What I just said is what I'm asking.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
If you eliminate the private prison, do you then, therefore, eliminate the private prison lobby?
Absolutely. If the private prisons are gone, there is no need for a lobbyist because there is no private prison to lobby on behalf of. It would also affect the police unions and the prison guard unions, which are very powerful in this nation as well. Without private prisons, they'll lose a huge base of income and support that they have, which they often use to strong arm our legislators into making harsher laws and longer sentences and more prisons, to build more prisons to get more jobs.
So that's what I think. And of course, this is just one step. And again, Sanders acknowledges that. He said this is just one piece of legislation, but it is one of the first times that, well, we've said that on New Abolitionist Radio. There hasn't been a person talking about abolishing any form of slavery in this country until now. Until now. Well, we did have Reverend Emojo, how you pronounce his name, who was running for up there in Indianapolis, but he didn't win.
Emojo Ajabu.
Yeah, Emojo Ajabu. Yeah, and he was running on an abolitionist platform as an abolitionist to abolish, you know, prison slavery, not just private prisons, but prison slavery in this country. And so since him, this is the first politician that I think has even proposed any kind of meaningful, and I wouldn't even call this reform. This isn't reform. This is abolishing something. Listen, now, he's not trying to reform private prisons. He says he wants to abolish them.
He's looking to end contracts with private prisons within a 2-year period of him being elected.
And you know what? Something else I found out. You know, we keep hearing all this stuff about illegal immigration and all of these immigrants, undocumented immigrants. Do you know that there are only about, there's less than 50,000 people in these immigration detention facilities? Did you know that, Max?
I've heard some things like that from Yohanan.
Only 50,000. Not 100,000. Not 500,000. Not 1 million. Most of the people that are in these private prisons being held on immigration charges, man, that's a drop in the bucket right there. That's a drop in the bucket. And so most of the people that's being enslaved by private prisons are actually, quote unquote, American citizens, man. So,
yeah. Mostly in state prisons. state-run prisons.
And the states like Louisiana have contracted with Corrections Corporation of America or the GEO Group. That's why they suing the state saying, hey, you got to keep these prisons 80% full or you're going to pay us anyway for all these empty beds.
Yes, and states like Vermont, which is one of four states that's involved with human trafficking, sends their prisoners to these states that are lacking bodies to fill those beds to avoid those lawsuits. So Vermont has overcrowding, and they'll send theirs out to another state like Kentucky.
Hawaii is another state that does that. I was talking to my daughter who has a Hawaiian ancestry. I was telling her about how they send all those prisoners from Hawaii off the island and send them to California and Nevada and other places. I was like, well, damn, Dan, they not even being counted in the census to even, you know, for that representation to be, or any kind of, what do they call it? Any kind of the, allotments that, area gets because of the number of people they have, any of the government funding that they get. I mean, you're sending all your people out the state. So that's impacting not only those people and preventing their families from visiting them. That's cruel and unusual punishment, man. Think about it. If you were in Hawaii, that means you, and they send your loved one to California, that means you got to buy a plane ticket every time you want to visit them.
You know, I'm no expert in politics, Scotty, but doesn't that also affect the number of representatives for districts
it
that
does.
You get?
It does. That's what I'm saying. Number
so
of
if you find these prisons in red areas where it's primarily Republicans, that means there's more Republican representation based
yes, it
on
does.
The criminals they have or prisoners they have?
Yes, it does. Hmm. Yes, it does. Same old, ain't it, man?
Yep. Manipulation, using people's bodies, physical bodies, to create more representation for Republican candidates.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like where I live in the state, I mean, the county I live in, North Carolina. This is a solidly red county in North Carolina. I can't even recall in my lifetime them ever electing anybody other than a Republican. And it has not only, well, the jail isn't that big, all right, but they have a prison here. They have a prison here in Gaston County. And so all of those prisoners that sent here from other counties and stuff like that, that means that this county, these people in this prison in Gaston County is being counted as residents of Gaston County.
Right, and getting Republican representation.
Exactly.
Because of the location of the prison, where it's being built. It's amazing when these things start clicking together and you see the manipulation involved using human lives by people who really have no concern for human life, apparently. And if you look at some of the projects like the prison map, which is groundbreaking and is showing aerial views of how much space these prisons take up in different states, you'll start realizing how slavery and human trafficking is working and how the politics that are involved in moving people around from place to place to place in order to win elections.
Yep. So I'm telling you, man, I'm excited as an abolitionist. I want him to hurry up and introduce this bill. Again, don't get it twisted. I don't support political candidates. All right. I don't get on here and endorse this person over that person. I come on and I talk about what they're talking about and what they support and what they're pushing. That's my job as a journalist and as an abolitionist. Of course, I'm going to focus more on a candidate if they're talking about something that impacts abolitionism in this country or 21st century slavery or human trafficking. So, you know, people want to get it twisted and they want to say Black Talk Radio is getting behind Bernie Sanders' campaign. That's a bunch of BS.
Well, this isn't the first time that Black Talk Radio has met with accusations on a number of issues.
No, it isn't. It isn't. So that's to be expected. But yeah, but I really, man, I'm excited. I want him to hurry up and introduce this legislation. I want to read it for myself. And if it does what he says is doing, man, we got to come up with a plan to get mass support for this bill, man. We got to get this bill. Because, again, as I pointed out, no, it's not going to end slavery. But it will free some people that's enslaved, we hope. All right, because, you know, the Supreme Court has already ruled that, you know, mass incarceration is a cruel and unusual punishment. And that's why, you know, California had to let almost 200,000 people go, but they didn't let them go. They just hired the GEO group, the private prison lobbyists, one of which of those lobbies worked for Hillary Clinton. And so anyway, you know, if we can get rid of private prisons, we then get rid of the private prison lobbyists, and then we don't have people that spending hundreds of millions of dollars to lobby to keep modern day slavery and human trafficking, you know, going strong in this country. It's death by a thousand paper cuts. But again, we want abolition, total abolitionists. Max, you got any closing thoughts as we get ready to wrap it up?
Just pointing out that so they understand how much money is being spent to to influence and convince lawmakers and business representatives to use these private prisons. Between the years of 2002 and 2012, the private prison industry spent over $48 million on lobbying efforts alone. Just lobbying, $48 million went into the pockets of judges, senators, congressmen, corporate CEOs, and on and on.
It's a lot of money, man. That's a lot of money. And they expect something in return for that money, and they have certainly have gotten it. They have gotten it. So,
I'd like to tell the audience, too, that's tuning in, make sure you check us out this Wednesday at 8 p.m. on New Abolitionist Radio, where we have two special guests coming in. It's going to be an abolitionist party. Muhyiddin Diaba is coming in. He is the organizer for the Charleston, South Carolina Black Lives Matter movement, and that chapter, and as well as Christopher Irving, who is now running for District 5 councilman in Baltimore City and is also an abolitionist. So we're going to have a hell of a good conversation.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to talking to Christopher, because he said that he's done some research and he can show where felony disenfranchisement laws were in existence before the 13th Amendment. Mm. So I'm really interested in hearing about Chris's research. So again, yeah, make sure y'all tune in Wednesday night, every Wednesday night, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, New Abolitionist Radio. Max, I want to thank you, man, for chiming in and filling in some of those blanks.
Always a pleasure, my brother. Have a great day and peace till tomorrow.
Peace. All right. Yeah, that is tomorrow. Tomorrow night. New Abolitionist Radio. So that means that Black Talk Radio News will not be on tomorrow on Wednesdays, as I take that Wednesday afternoon off to, again, work and do things behind the scenes. But I do join my brothers, abolitionist brothers, Max Parthas and Johanna and Elijah, every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock p.m. on New Abolitionist Radio. Today, coming up at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Black Talk Radio Network, your black digital radio station, bringing you new black media for the new millennium, Tando Radio Show. That's 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. And then that will conclude our live streaming on this station. But one of our independent black media partners, the Context of White Supremacy, they have a program coming on at 8 o'clock. You can find all information at blacktalkradionetwork.com. And that's, again, at 8 o'clock p.m. All right. Recognize the fact that you live behind enemy lines. It's a battlefield out there. Casualties are being created every day. All right. Not only are they creating casualties, but they are also putting people by the hundreds of thousands every day into the slave system, putting them in that prison pipeline. All right. And so we got to learn how to navigate behind these enemy lines so that we don't become casualties and we don't become neo-slaves. There's no guarantee that you can, you know, do everything within your power to prevent that sad, you know, things happening to you. But there are, you know, you can at least decrease the likelihood of it happening to you. So develop that battlefield awareness, develop that codification, develop that skill, and hopefully you won't become a victim. Again, I will be back on air tomorrow night with New Abolitionist Radio at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. Peace and blessing to all. Be safe out there, 'cause it ain't no joke.